Be with you again this morning in the ministry of the Word of God. Let us turn in our Bibles to the Gospel by Matthew, chapter 5. We want to read from Matthew 5 and also from Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 5, and we begin our reading at verse 1, a very familiar portion of the Word of God. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now from the 13th chapter of Matthew, we want to begin our reading at verse 10. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we stand amazed at the gospel of saving grace. We thank you for the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, which enables us to stand in thy presence, forgiven and righteous before thy holy throne. The psalmist could say, Truly goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. And this morning we must not only confess that it followed us, it caught up with us. For thy goodness led us to repentance, and thy mercy brought to us the forgiveness of all our sins. And therefore in thy holy presence we are accepted and acceptable to our Lord Jesus Christ. Make known thy power this morning through the preaching of thy word. We would say to thee in all sincerity, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, and in speaking to my heart, speak to the hearts of each who are gathered, and will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ is recognized as the greatest teacher of all time. The enemies of the Lord, when they were sent to bring him in as a captive, returned without him, and they had to confess, "Never man spake like this man." How true it is, no one ever spoke or taught like our blessed Lord. Therefore, it would do us good if we not only examined what our Lord said, but we need to examine how he said it. In what manner did our Lord speak? Now, you will notice from the passages that were read this morning, the first was from the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord speaks plainly and directly to the people. The second passage that we read was from Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, our Lord presents seven great parables, the parables of the kingdom. In them, the disciples, after he spoke just one parable, they came to him and they asked the Lord, "Why do you speak in parables?" So we notice from the passages read this morning that there are two methods that our Lord used in teaching the word. He spoke plainly and he spoke in parables. So we want to examine these two ways that our Lord used in ministering to men. Notice the direct teaching of the Lord. And out of the Sermon on the Mount, we read a few of the Beatitudes, or should I say, the attributes of the believer. Those who are truly saved, their lives correspond to these verses. Now, I tell you, this is a direct teaching of the Lord. Not a parable, but direct. In other words, the true child of God is poor in spirit. He has recognized his spiritual need, that he has nothing that God will accept. He comes as a guilty, bankrupt sinner to God. And it is that particular kind of person that makes up the kingdom of heaven, the poor in spirit. And then in the Beatitude, "Blessed are they that mourn, they who mourn and have felt the awfulness of our sins." This is one aspect that is so lacking today in gospel preaching. It is the sinfulness of sin and a declaration of the sinfulness of sin. And it's also lacking in the converts today, for today is a day when people are trying to live as close as possible to the world. And I am amazed that those who claim to be saved, they want to live and look as much like the world as they possibly can. There's something wrong. Our Lord said, "Blessed are they that mourn." But oh, the reality of it, "They shall be comforted." And then he moves on in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the meek." The meek. And all the scriptures that the Word of God tells us about meekness. It is with meekness that we receive the engrafted word that is able to save our souls. It is not in the haughtiness of the natural man, but in the meekness that is the result of the Spirit of God's working. In the Psalms we read, "The meek shall he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way." And to the child of God, Paul wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the last two verses, he said, "The servant of the Lord must not strive." He mustn't strive, but in meekness instruct those who oppose him, not in haughtiness, "We know it all," but in meekness instructing those who oppose him, perhaps the Lord will give him deliverance from the snare of the devil by whom he's taken captive. Meekness. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And you'll notice our Lord's teaching is just the opposite of the ways of the world. Who would ever think that the meek are going to inherit the earth? The earth and the fullness thereof belongs to those who have the gusto and are ready to go out and get it. That's not the way it is. It is the meek who inherit the earth. Oh, we may not have it now, but just wait. God doesn't settle all his accounts in November. Never forget that. The meek shall inherit the earth. But I'm interested particularly in verse 8, where our Lord says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now we want to consider this for just a moment. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. There is nothing more direct in the whole of the Bible than these verses. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, if I'm awake, and I believe you're awake this morning, if I am awake and if you're awake, you have to say to yourself, how am I ever going to be pure in heart? Not talking about the outside now. We're talking about the inside. God gave 9 commandments to Moses at Mount Sinai. And then he added another one. No one ever went to jail for breaking the 10th commandment. The 10th commandment deals with the inside. The Apostle Paul could say in the 7th of Romans, I was alive without the law once. Oh, it's easy to measure yourself by other people, with other people, when you have outward standards. And Paul could say, I was alive without the law once. I was head and shoulders above everyone else in Israel. And he goes into this in Philippians chapter 3 in the opening verses. About the first 6 verses in Philippians chapter 3, he shows in what area he was ahead of everyone else in Israel. Romans 7, he said, I was alive without the law once, but the commandment came. Which one? Number 10. That 10th commandment. And you know the 10th commandment, it deals with the inside. And it shows the spiritual nature of all the other commandments. Thou shalt not covet. What legislator would ever want to put a law on the books that would arrest a man for wrong thinking? You can't tell what I'm thinking. You don't know what I'm thinking right now. And right now I'm thinking I only have less than 25 minutes to finish what I have to say. You can't tell what I'm thinking. Boy, you thought, boy, 25 minutes is a long time, isn't it? See, now I'm trying to tell what you're thinking. But no one can tell what's on the inside of anyone else but God. This brings home to our hearts the truth of what God said to Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 14, I think it is. No, it's chapter 16. 1 Samuel 16. He said to Samuel, when Samuel looked over the sons of Jesse, when he was sent to anoint one of his sons as king, he said, man, God seeth not as man seeth. Man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And God, the Lord, in Matthew 5 and verse 8, spoke very directly to the people, and he said to them, blessed are the pure in heart, on the inside, for they shall see God. Now, beloved, If you and I are ever going to be blameless down in the deep recesses and intentions of the inner man, then God has to do something mighty in me. And that which must be accomplished mightily by God in us is what the Word of God calls the new birth. The new birth, regeneration. And this is exactly what the Lord Jesus came to do. He came to regenerate poor sinners, to bring them to life in our Lord Jesus Christ. This, in Matthew 5 and verse 8, is the same teaching our Lord gave to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, when he said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And the only way a man can enter or see the kingdom of God is through the new birth. And the reason the new birth is necessitated is because we are not pure in heart by nature, and only the pure in heart will see God. And the Word says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Oh God, you must do something mighty in me. And if you don't accomplish that work, I shall forever remain dead in trespasses and in sins. God has to do a work, a mighty work. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now friends, when our Lord began his public teaching, he didn't simply come and tell man he has to be holy. And we have to be. For Hebrews 12 says, "Without holiness no man shall see the Lord." Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And in Ephesians 1 and verse 4 we read that God in his work is to make us holy and without blame before him in love. That's what the scripture says. Ephesians 1 verse 4, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." The plan of God's redemption is not simply to take us to heaven. It is to make us holy. And holiness of life becometh those who claim to be the Lord's by regenerating grace. Have you been born of God? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now the Lord Jesus didn't come to tell us to be holy. The Lord Jesus came to make us holy. Otherwise we never could be. No man can be holy by being told to be holy. A person can only be holy by making the tree good, and then the fruit will be good. Our Lord said, "Either make the tree good, and then his fruit will be good, or the tree is evil, and the fruit is evil." Friends, it's out of the heart that things proceed. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Oh, so I knew someone, and they said something they shouldn't have said in my presence. "Oh, I didn't mean that." And I just simply said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now I come back to what I said a moment ago. If any person is awake and they realize what our Lord says in this direct teaching, he realizes that he needs a supernatural work that needs to be accomplished on the inside. My works are not good enough, because my works will only be the reflection of what I am. And the reason that a sinner, even though he's good in the sight of man, put that word good in parenthesis, if he's good in the sight of man, having never been born of God, his works proceed from an evil heart. I cannot measure myself by my neighbor. When I was dating the lady who became my wife, and she trusted the Lord, and one of the evidences of being saved, you want to win your family. And she started talking to her mother. And I had been talking to her mother. And her mother all said, if Mrs. Jones, and she lived just three doors up the street on Edgewood Avenue in Somerset, Pennsylvania. She said, if Mrs. Jones makes it, then I'll make it. She was measuring her life by Mrs. Jones. But the sad part about that, suppose Mrs. Jones doesn't make it. You see, God doesn't save people because they measure up to someone else. God saves a person because they must be like Jesus Christ. And the only way that I can be like Jesus Christ, God has to do a mighty work in me. It is called regeneration. And this is why the Lord came. When this quartet this morning sang that hymn, kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. When they were singing, and I love to hear them, by the way, my heart was going out to a story I heard just 2 weeks ago of this preacher who was preaching in a small church in Canada. And they had gone to visit every home in the neighborhood, and this preacher and the other preacher who were going door to door, they came to this nice, beautiful home with a picket fence. And this one preacher, who was a stranger, he started to go in, and the other preacher said to him, oh, you don't go in there. The worst woman in town lives there. That's a house of prostitution. Well, he said, we visited every other home in the city. I'm going in here. He went to the door and he rang the doorbell, and this woman came to the door. She said, hello there, big boy. And he gave her an invitation. He said, if I came to that meeting that you have, everybody would be shocked to death. He said, they need a shock. Come on. She came. She came. And that night, God saved her. God saved her in a dramatic way. And everybody was shocked. And the preacher brought her up, and he went and stood. She was standing up front, and he went and stood aside of her. He said, now you all see what God did. Are you willing to receive her? He pointed to the congregation. Are you willing to receive her? You see, in the lesson this morning, in the Sunday school lesson, our brother Lacey pointed out that God saves the most unlikely people. Who would have thought that he would save Saul of Tarsus? Who would think that he would save a man like Cornelius? Or who would ever think that Peter would live in the house of Simon a tanner? For the tanner was the lowest man in Israel. He dealt with dead beasts. And one lady who was like a mother in Israel from the church, she arose and went up and put her arms around that woman. God sent revival to that church. You see, regenerating grace is what we need. The measuring line of God is our Lord Jesus Christ. And whoever measures up, for God's standard is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You see, beloved, it's common ground at the cross. The ground is level at the cross. And God says to all men, you must come. This is the way you must come. For you see, the doctrine of the new birth, the regenerating grace of God flows out of a work that was accomplished on Calvary's hill. It is the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. For at Calvary, God did something that no one else could do. When we sit at the Lord's Supper, occasionally we sing number 120 in the Black Hymn Book, Rise My Soul, Behold 'Tis Jesus. Jesus fills thy wondering eyes. See him now in glory seated, where thy sins no more can rise. And then about the third stanza, it says this, all my sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him. And believing, I am free. Here, beloved, is the freedom that flows from the cross. It is regenerating grace that flows out of the cross on Calvary's hill. The Lord Jesus said in his earthly ministry, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit. For he was not yet given, in that Jesus was not yet glorified. For you see, the work of the cross had to come in for the Spirit of God to come moving in. And beloved, this is what is accomplished in conversion. And the person becomes pure in heart. At Calvary, friends, God dealt with sin. Oh, to be able to say this morning, he dealt with my sin. All my sins were laid upon him. Oh, what a delight it is to realize I'll never meet my sin. After I've been in glory for 10,000 years, no skeleton is going to come tumbling out of the closet that will embarrass God or embarrass me. God knew every one of them, and he dealt with every one of them. No skeletons to come out of the closet. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And now, because of the work of Christ, beloved, there is now righteousness imputed to the believer. And that's the blessed truth of Romans chapter 4 and Psalm 32. And that's what we call justification, to be justified by God. Our Lord Jesus spoke directly. Have you received that direct teaching of the Lord? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, I want to ask you a question. Can anything be plainer than that? Now, my next question is this. Is your heart pure? Have you been born again by the Spirit of God so that you can say this morning, God has given me a new heart. A new heart. I'm his and he's mine. Now, our Lord, there came a time in the life of the Lord that he spoke in parables. This is a second way in which our Lord taught. There are at least seven parables in Matthew chapter 13. Now, these parables were uttered by our Lord under very painful circumstances. He had gone over the cities of Israel, and he had sent his disciples over them, and they proclaimed the gospel. They worked miracles. They manifested the fact that the kingdom of God had come. And our Lord, in chapter 12 of Matthew, he had been rejected by the nation of Israel. They had rejected him, and they ascribed his ministry to Satan. They attributed the works that were done, the miracles, to Beelzebub, the prince of demons. So in chapter 13 of Matthew, our Lord speaks in parables. Now the disciples were a bit disturbed over this, and they said to the Lord, "Why do you speak in parables?" Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10. Why do you speak in parables? And our Lord had something to say. He told them that the parables could be understood by those who had received the ability to understand. And that ability to understand the parabolic teaching of Christ is a regenerating grace that comes from the new birth. It was utterly obscure to those who had not been regenerated by the Spirit of God. You see, the parables are like the cloud that followed Israel, the Shekinah glory of God that followed Israel from Egypt to Canaan. It was light to the Israelites, but it was darkness to all the others, to the Egyptians. It was darkness to them. It was light to the Israelites. So that brings us to the Word of God. The parables are light to one and darkness to the other. In the first parable in Matthew 13, in the parable of the sower, the Lord Jesus talks about a sower that goes forth to sow. All the seed is good, but yet most of the seed falls on unprofitable soil. What kind of soil are you? Are you stony ground? Are you likened to stony ground hearers? Or are you likened to a seed that falls among the thorns, where the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it never brings forth any fruit? You see, unprofitable soil. Men heard, but they don't profit from what they hear. That's what the first parable is all about. Only one-fourth of the seed fell upon soil wherein it brought forth fruit for God. Unprofitable. Now, again, we come back to Matthew 5. Am I listening to what he says plainly in Matthew 5? He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now he's speaking in parables. So we ask the question, am I pure in the deep recesses of my heart? Does the Word of God make any sense to me? 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned." If you are ever able to understand the things of the Spirit of God, you have to have the Spirit of God dwelling within, a new heart. Our Lord speaks of the them, and he speaks of you in Matthew 13. The them are they on the outside who heard him speak in parables but didn't know what he was talking about. The you are they who have been born of God, to whom he gives an understanding of the things that he speaks in the Word of God. Have you received that which is plain, that can't be misunderstood? Have you? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now the purpose of the parables, they were judgment upon those who rejected the plain, simple teaching of Christ. There was judgment upon them. They didn't have any, so they got no more. They didn't get anything else. To him that hath, it shall be given, and he shall have more abundantly. You see, it begins with a new life, being born of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The teaching of our Lord was light and instruction to those who believed and obeyed the gospel. So I ask you this morning, where do you stand in relation to the teaching of Christ? The whole of the Bible to you might be one parable. You can't understand it because you have rejected the simple and the plain. If you have doubts, if you're not saved, why not close in with Christ this morning? Why not cry to him and say, O Lord, open thou mine eyes. This is what the psalmist says in the 119th Psalm. Open thou mine eyes, that I may understand thy holy law. Open my eyes. You see, God commands your heart to be pure. This should cause each of us this morning to say with a poet of old, God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, O cleanse me from my sin. My transgressions I confess, grief and guilt my soul oppress. I have sinned against thy grace and provoked thee to thy face. I confess thy judgment just. Speechless, I thy mercy trust. I am evil, born in sin. Thou desirest truth within. Thou alone my Savior art. Teach thy wisdom to my heart. Make me pure. Thy grace bestow. Wash me whiter than the snow. For Jesus' sake, amen. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's sing together hymn number 310. We'll sing the first and the last stanzas. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to dwell in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. The last stanza, Lord Jesus, thou seest I patiently wait. Come now and within me a new heart create. He's the only one who can do that. That's the new birth, friends. The creation of a new heart within. And apart from that, no one will ever see God. No matter how well you can sing, no matter how much scripture you know, you need a new heart. Do you have it? Or if you don't, why not ask him to give you one? And I have some news for you. The woman of Samaria, in John 4, verse 10, he said, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, you'd ask him, and he'd give you. Ask him this morning, if you don't have a new heart, ask him for it. He said, I'll give it. You need it if you're here without Christ. He has it, and he'll give it.